Shalom.
Hello. We are reading in Zohar for All. We are in the middle of the article, The Night of the Bride. We are in item 137. You can download the study material from Kabbalah.info. Questions can be sent throughout the lesson. We are also broadcasted on the Facebook page of Rav Leitman. You're welcome to download the material from there and ask questions throughout the lesson.
So let's continue.
So Zohar Laam, we're on page 11, item 137. David said about that, "If the Lord had not been my help, my soul had almost dwelt with Duma. If the Lord had not been help, means if he had not been my keeper and watchman in regards to angel Duma, had almost like a fine thread between me and the other side. It was that close to having my soul had almost dwelt with Duma, with angel Duma in hell." Explanation. David is Malchut, of whom it is written, "Her legs go down to death." And she is so because the siyum, the end of Kedusha, holiness, from which the Sitra Achra and the Klipot are sustained, as it is written, "His kingdom rules over all." However, when Malchut is corrected with Midat HaRachamim, she is regarded as 2 points, the point of Din for herself, and the point of Rachamim, which she received from Bina. Also, the Din in her is hidden and concealed, and only the Rachamim in her are out in the open. Through this correction, the Sitra Achra has only a thin light of the illumination of Malchut. This is regarded as shoresh, and it is sufficient for the persistence of the klipot. But they have no power to expand at all. This shoresh is also called a fine thread, meaning a thin root for the sins. It is written about it, at first it is akin to a spider web, and later it becomes as cart ropes. It is called fine, because it is din that is hidden and concealed at the point of Rachamim. However, one who blemishes one's covenant causes the point of din in Malchut to appear, and then the klipot approach her and suckle great abundance from her, receiving strength for great expansion. And one who does it loses his soul in the hands, and when he is rewarded and repents, he corrects the Malchut in correction of Midat HaDin once again. And this is why it is called Tshuva, repentance. It has the letters of Tashuv Hei, which bring her back to her place, to Midat HaRachamim, and the power of Din is hidden inside of her once more, with only a fine candle. If the Lord had not been my help, becoming a keeper and watchman over me, meaning that he accepted my tshuva and repelled angel Duma to his place, he brought Malchut back to her place, to Midat HaRachamim, and left only a fine candle of Midat HaDin, as a measure of fine thread that there is between him and the Sitra Achra. In other words, it is only as that tiny amount that must remain between the Malchut to the Sitra Achra to give her sustenance in diminished illumination, called a fine thread. It was that measure, my soul had almost dwelt with Duma, and this measure saved me from falling in the hands of angel Duma. In other words, if the din in Malchut did not return to be as a fine thread, I would already be in the hands of Duma.
Just a little bit more, let's be together. Let's think about the Zohar, let's hear the Zohar through everybody.
138. For this reason, one must keep from saying things as did David, because he cannot say to Angel Duma that it was a mistake, as it was with David when the Creator defeated him in the sentence, as it is written, "Why should God be angry at your voice?" Meaning that voice which said, "And destroy the work of your hands." Meaning the holy flesh, the holy covenant, that he blemished and was pulled into hell by Duma. Explanation. There are two discernments in repentance. First, the repentance from fear, when sins become as mistakes to him. Two, repentance from love, when sins become as merits to him. The clarification is that prior to the end of correction, as long as the force of din is required in the world, as it is written, "And God made it so as to fear him," Malchut must keep the Sidra Achra at least in the measure of a tiny candle, so the Klipot and the Sidra Achra will not be cancelled. Hence, the whole correction of Malchut is in two points, Rachamim and Din. However, the Din is concealed and hidden, and the Rachamim are disclosed, since by that there is fear in it, as in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If one is rewarded, it is good. If he is not rewarded, it is bad. It follows that the repentance we do during the 6,000 years is only repentance from fear, where sins become as mistakes for him. This is so because through the repentance we bring Malchut back to Midat HaRachamim, and the din in her is concealed to a measure of a tiny candle and a fine thread, since Malchut must still remain in the quality of fear. This is why it is called repentance from fear. This fine thread that must remain is called mistakes, since for one who errs, it is not a sin in and of itself, but the mistakes bring one to sin deliberately. This is so because one does not sin deliberately before he fails in some mistake. And here it is this fine thread that remains in Malchut, since although it remains, it is not a sin. However, because of this hidden din, we come to sin. This is why it was said, it begins as a hair's breadth, a fine thread, and if the covenant is not properly kept, it becomes as cart ropes, since Midat HaDin, the quality of judgment, appears in Malchut. This is the meaning of Duma is sitting at the gate of Tuhel. It is a force that is a fine thread, only an opening. It is said about it that in the beginning it is at a hair's breadth. For this reason, our repentance is considered as though our iniquities have been pardoned and have become mistakes, since the fine thread remains and can bring us to a deliberate act. And the meaning of the second form of repentance, which is from love, is that sins become as merits. For this reason, one must keep from saying things like David, meaning to avoid saying something that could cause the appearance of Midat HaDin in Malchut, as did David, since he cannot tell Angel Duma that it is a mistake, that he is not sure that he will be able to repent immediately, that the iniquity will be atoned into a mistake for him, as was with David, whom the Creator defeated in the Din. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Creator all of his life. He committed no sin during his life except in regards to Uriah. This is why the Creator became his guardian and keeper, and immediately assisted him in repenting, and the iniquity became as a mistake to him, as it is written, if the Lord had not been my help, my soul had almost dwelt with Duma. But the rest of the people should fear that they will not be able to say before the angel that it was a mistake, and will fall into the hands of Duma to hell. And destroy the work of your hands is a holy flesh, the holy covenant that he blemished, and he was pulled into hell by Duma. Since the correction of the holy covenant is called the work of our hands, it is written about it, confirm the work of our hands, and the holy soul is called holy flesh. As it is written, out of my flesh shall I see God, whereby to the disclosure of the din in Malchut, the correction of the covenant is corrupted, and the soul is pulled into hell by Duma. For this reason, the heavens tell the work of his hands. And for this reason, they revolve around the whole article of Rav Himnon HaSaba, which he presented to us. After that, correction of the covenant and its reward and in its punishment is clarified in it, and for which it is called the correction of the covenant, the work of our hands. The end of correction clarifies regarding that day, that the heavens is the groom who enters his chupa with the bride. Thus, at the end of correction, the heavens tell the work of his hands, for then it will become known that all those corrections are not the work of our hands, but the work of his hands. This is what the heavens tell, and on that was the great zivug of Rav Pealim Umikabtzei El done. Also, tell means the disclosure of the extension of the abundance. Know that this is the whole difference between this world prior to the correction and the end of correction. Prior to the end of correction. Malchut is called the tree of knowledge of good and evil, since the Malchut is the guidance of the Creator in this world, as long as the receivers have not been completed so they can receive His whole benevolence, which He had contemplated in our favor in the thought of creation. The guidance must be in the form of good and bad, reward and punishment, so they can receive His whole benevolence, which He had contemplated in our favor, the thought of creation. The guidance must be in the form of good and bad. It is so because our vessels of reception are still tainted with self-reception, which is very limited in its measure, as well as separates us from the Creator. The complete benefit is the great measure that He had contemplated for us, is only in bestowal, which is pleasure without any boundary and limitation, but reception for oneself is limited and highly restricted, because this satiation promptly puts out the pleasure. It is written, the Lord has made everything for His own purpose, meaning that everything that occurs in the world was created from its inception only to bestow contentment upon Him. Thus people engage in worldly affairs in complete contrast to how they were initially created, since the Creator is saying, the whole world was created for me. As it is written, the Lord has made everything for His own purpose, and everyone who is called by my name, I have created for my glory. And we say the complete opposite because we are saying the whole world was created only for us. We want to devour all the abundance of the world into our bellies for our own delights and for our own glory. Thus, it is no wonder that we are still unworthy of receiving His complete benefit. For this reason, His guidance of good and evil has been prescribed for us, with guidance of reward and punishment. For they are interdependent because the reward and punishment result from good and evil. When we use the vessels of reception contrary to how they were created, we necessarily sense evil in the operations of providence in relation to us. It is a law that the creature cannot receive disclosed evil from the Creator, for it is a flaw in the glory of the Creator for the creature to perceive him as an evildoer, for this is becoming unbecoming of the complete operator. Hence, when one feels bad, denial of the Creator's guidance lies upon him, and the superior operator is concealed from him to that same extent. This is that the greatest punishment in the world. Thus, the sensation of good and evil in relation to his guidance brings with it the sensation of reward and punishment. For one who exerts to not part from the faith of the Creator is rewarded even when he tastes a bad taste in providence. And if he does not exert, he will have a punishment because he is separated from faith in the Creator. It follows that although the Creator is doing and will do all the deeds, it still remains hidden from those who sense good and evil. Since at the time of evil, the Sitra Acha is given the strength to conceal his guidance and faith. Thus one comes to the great punishment of separation and becomes filled with heretical thoughts. And upon repentance, one receives the corresponding reward and can adhere to the Creator once again. However, by the guidance of reward and punishment itself, the Creator has prepared it so that ultimately we will be rewarded with the end of correction through it, that all the people will obtain the corrected vessels of reception in order to bestow contentment upon their Maker. As it is written, the Lord has made everything for his own purpose, as they were initially created. At that time, the great Zivug of Atik Yomin will appear. We will come to repentance from love, all the sins will be turned into merits, and all the bad into great good. At that time, his private providence will be revealed throughout the world, for all to see that he alone is doing, and will do all those deeds from before. This is because now, once the evil and the punishment have become benefits and merits, it will be possible to attain their doer, for they have now become fitting for the work of his hands. Now they will praise and bless him for those imaginary evils and punishments at the time. This is the main point of the essay. For thus far the corrections, too, were regarded as the work of our hands because we received rewards and punishments for them. At the great Zivug of the end of correction, it will be revealed that both corrections and punishments were all the work of his hands. As it is written, the heavens tell the work of his hands. This is so because the great Zivug of the firmament will say that everything is the work of his hands, and he alone is doing, and will do all the deeds.
Questions, please? Alright, so everything's clear, right?
A student from Hoda Sharon is asking whether there's importance to follow the book during the study, or we could just listen. What draws more reforming light?
Or Makif is drawn according to the deficiency, the chisaron, of the student to be adhered to the Or Makif. And Dvekut, this adherence in Or Makif, is by being in my 10 in the group, and through it, to which I want to annul, the more I annul myself, and I'm drawn to bestowal. And then, the extent to which I annul myself, my annulment to bestowal, against that is the Or Makif evoked. Now, If I just listen, or if I also go over the text, or if I don't understand Hebrew at all and I hear it in a translation, and I have the book in my own foreign language, or I have no book, everything depends on the extent to which a person is mostly all the time in the intention, in overcoming, in strengthening toward the goal. Meaning toward correction by the light that reforms in the ten by which I come to a state where I come with my ten to the revelation of the Creator. We prepare His own revelation and bring Him contentment by this. So, either by reading or not reading, some people can't do it without reading, can't listen without reading. Sometimes, or there are people that prefer to just close their eyes and listen. Here you have the risk of falling asleep and disconnecting. So you have these and those. I, in order to be more focused, I try to go over the book, and also even with a pencil. So using the pencil, I do make little corrections here and there. It's not a lot, but still at every page I have two or three little corrections. You know, punctuation, commas here and there, such that the text would be a little more smooth. But it seems to me that it came out pretty well, actually, this text. And you know, the style, the way that it's divided, how it is, how it's presented. It's comfortable. Yes, more?
When you sit and know that you're not in the right intention, and you don't even know what it is, and you're just thinking about yourself completely, what does that mean? And that, does it mean that you're not putting forth the effort, or?
I try to be in the right intention as much as I'm able. As much as I'm unable, I'm unable. The study of the wisdom of Kabbalah demands from us to be complete, such that I am relaxed. If all the time I'm with claims and demands, then I'm unsatisfied. I'm unsatisfied by the Creator. From the Creator, who else could I be lay claim to? If I'm not happy with life, I'm not happy with the Creator. And then, in this way, I can't be close to the text. I can't be close to the Creator, to the light that reforms. So I, when I approach the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah, I try to be as relaxed as possible, and just in completion, in the sensation that everything is good and beautiful, and that I got this privilege to sit and study about the world, about the upper providence, about the acts of the Creator, what He wants from us. This is a very special thing. How many people are there? That doesn't matter what they have. They don't have this. The most important thing.
Is it in my forces to think so?
This is within your ability to think so. Stop being so concerned with yourself.
I want to, but I'm certain that I can't.
So don't be sure. Don't be sure.
How can I think like that, like what you're saying?
Very simply, don't think too much about yourself. You also need to connect to the Creator in something, in that I am in His hands, and He organizes everything for me, and He's the first and the last, and there's nothing except for Him, there's none else besides Him. And He is perfect and complete, and I try to, a little bit, in something, during the study to also be in his perfection. I learn about his actions, about what he does with all the creations, how he awakens them and brings them to the final correction. So I try to be complete and whole as much as possible. And upon this wholeness that I feel, upon that, then I begin to develop an additional chisaron above that perfection. Above that wholeness, what deficiency is there above the wholeness? That I want to be even more whole, that I want to be in bestowal, in disconnection from myself, above myself, to connect with the field of bestowal and love outside of myself. And the extent to which I have different thoughts, I try to neutralize them, to remove them, to rise above them. Because during the study, I want to be only, at least during this time, I want to be in wholeness, in perfection. Enough of being an egoist with all the rest of the time that I'm doing it, when I'm thinking all the time, oh, why don't I have this, and why I have this, and why doesn't he give me what I want, what I see, what I deserve, what I think. During the reading of the Zohar, I don't want to think that way. I just don't want to think that way. You can say whatever you want. Until you change that, nothing will help you. So 20 more years will pass, and you can sit and wait until it changes. All your complaints, nobody wants to hear. Nobody. That's it. Because we know already, okay, I know exactly what you're going to say. But how can you do it? But I don't know. But I'm unable, but I can't. You can't. Nobody will help you. Nobody can help you. Okay, so just ask and wait for it to happen. That's it.
Can I ask one more thing?
Okay, fine. One thing. The last thing.
So this means to try that you're trying to feel this all the time? Because you always say it's not to believe, it's...
I try to imagine to myself, to depict for myself, it doesn't matter how you say it, that I'm really in a perfect state. Right now I leave myself behind. I don't care about myself. I'm being told about the Creator, what He is doing. I want to be included in it. I want to be in it, okay? That's it. Just like I'm going to some movie, and I'm just in the movie. And for 2 hours that the movie is playing before me, I don't think about my life. I'm just in it. Just like this. Do you understand that or not? That's how I am now. Okay? So just take this as your Hollywood. And stop complaining all the time. And we'll continue.
We are on page 15, item 139. For this reason, the heavens tell the work of his hands. These are the friends who bonded with the bride, Malchut, by engagement in Torah on the night of Shavuot, and those of hers who have the token of the covenant who are called the work of his hands. He mentions and registers each one. Who is the firmament? It is the firmament in which are the sun, the moon, the stars, and the signs. And this is called the Book of Remembrance, which mentions and registers them and writes them so they will be the members of his palace, and so he will always do their will. Explanation. Yesod de Zaranpin, in which the zivug for disclosing all the upper places and degrees was done, which are the sun, the moon, the stars, and the signs, is called firmament. It is written about it, and God placed them in the firmament of the heavens. And when they all stand in it, they rejoice with each other. Then the moon diminished herself before the sun. And since then, everything that the sun takes is only so as to illuminate to the nukva and not to herself. As it is written, to give light upon the earth. Commentary. All the upper lights were placed in the firmament of the heavens, in Yesod Zeranpin. They all stand in it, and he merrily mates with the Nukva, which is called Earth, Eretz, and he gives her all those lights, as it is written, to give light upon the earth. At that time, it is considered that the Malchut is smaller than the sun, Zeranpin. However, at the end of correction, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun. And the light of the sun will be sevenfold in the light of the 7 days. At that time, Malchut will not be smaller than Zeranpin, but will grow to be as Zeranpin during the 6 days of creation. And Zeranpin himself will rise sevenfold than the 6 days of creation. This will be at the time when it is written, will swallow up death forever. And then it is written, on that day the Lord will be one and his name one. For the firmament, Zeranpin Havaya, who is called Sun, his name is the Nukva who receives from him the moon. During the 6,000 years which receive from the 6 days of creation, it is not disclosed to them that he is one and his name is one. Since the moon is smaller than the sun, Zeranpin Havaya. The Katnut of Malchut is corrected in Asiya, because there is good and evil in it, reward and punishment. Also, there is a big difference between he and his name, because in his name, Malchut, the Zivugim come one at a time, one after another, at times bonded and at times separated. But at the end of correction, when death is swallowed up forever, it will be the Lord Havaya is one and his name one, since his name, the Nukva, will once more be precisely like the light of Zeranpin, all good without any bad at all. Also, private providence will appear in her. As it is written, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun. Hence, at that time, the Nukva will be called a book of remembrance. Since Malchut is called a book, for the deeds of all the people in the world are inscribed in her. And the Yesod de Zeranpin is called remembrance, because it remembers the deeds of the world and studies all the ancient creatures, for they are all imparted upon him by him. During the 6,000 years prior to the end of correction, the book is alone and the remembrance is alone, at times bonded and at times separated. But at the end of correction, both these degrees will become one. As it is written, the Lord is one, and his name one. And then Malchut herself will be called a book of remembrance, for they are literally one, because the light of the moon has become as the light of the sun. In the firmament, there are the sun, the moon, the stars, and the signs, meaning the Yesod of Zeranpin, in which all the lights in the world come out, and in which they exist. He gives them to Malchut while she is smaller than him, and while she is still not considered, the Lord is one and his name one. It is called a book of remembrance, and he himself will also be the Malchut of the end of correction, which will be therefore be called a book of remembrance. For then Malchut will receive the full essence of Zeranpin, and this firmament, which is called remembrance, will then be called a book of remembrance. Malchut herself, which is called a book, and the remembrance, which is the firmament, will literally be one with her, as it is written, on that day the Lord will be one and his name one.
So he describes us in all different ways, how Malchut and Zerampin are will be united and not now, how Zerampin can't connect to Malchut at all, but only as much as Malchut is able to receive, then he opens up his Yesod, and in this way you have a very partial Zivug between Zerampin and Malchut. Yes. Everything okay?
There's a question from a student who asks, in context to what we read, what is Duma? The question is from Facebook.
Duma is an angel. We'll study him more in depth. Angels are forces. They have no freedom of will. They're part of the system. It's like an operating system. It has all sorts of special instructions. So these instructions in the operating system of the soul are called malachim, angels. And one of these instructions is called Duma.
We also read that it's the deeds of his hands. So Konstantin Kubatov is asking, what is this deed in spirituality and how is it expressed in the corporeal world in our work and connection in the Ten?
A work of his hands, the firmament and so on, meaning everything that we receive directly from the Creator, that he arranges for us. These conditions and all the preparations, and all of this is the work of his hands, and this is what we need to reveal, that by revealing his actions we reveal himself, his self. There's a difference between revealing his actions and revealing the owner of the actions, as Rav Ash would tell us. By seeing something and understanding something, you also understand the mind of the actor. And likewise are we, by using the creation, by building as if from broken vessels something whole. In that we reveal the Creator. What does it mean, reveal the Creator? By that we come to a state in which we understand him. We feel how he acts, why he created it in that way, organized it in this way and broke it, shattered it and gave it to us, why he gave us such qualities that we have, such corrupted qualities for us to correct ourselves for unity. And out of all of this work, who we are and the group and the connection between us and all sorts of forms, degree after degree, we begin to understand him, what he did for us. Just as is written in many different places in the letter between the king, the prince that was in the dungeon for 20 years. And the king wanted to raise the minister, his servant, to a great degree. So he gave him the chance to fight a guard, to fight a thief, and so on. So by this, we begin to understand what the meaning is from all of these acts. Everybody's calm.
There's an additional question from Zohar from Chicago. He asks, if you could say a few words about the word Rakia, firmament. Every time that word is said, it's like an unperceivable feeling.
Rakia is a screen. A firmament, it's a screen. It's very simple. It's a masach. So the degree to which I can create this screen, I can come to lights. The work of his hands is the is the Rekia. So through the screen we can connect to the Creator and then the work of our hands. This is how we connect and understand Him, begin to understand Him, to feel, to research. So let's continue.
We're on page 16, item 140. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. This means a holy day from among those upper days of the king, from the Sfirot of Zeranpin, which are called days, praising the friends who engaged in Torah on the night of Shavuot, and each tells his friend that that thing which he said. This is day to day pours forth that speech and praises him. And night to night means that each degree that governs in the night, the Sfirot of Malchut, praises the other. And that knowledge is that each receives from his friend. And for all the wholeness, they have become friends and lovers. Explanation. Once he explains that the heavens tell the work of his hands, is the book of remembrance, the writing explains, you have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we kept his charge, and that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts? Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I perform my sgula, and I will have compassion over them as a man has compassion for his own son who serves him. You find that they tell each other that same thing that he said. It is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his charge? And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. This is because the Creator will have a compassion over them as one has compassion over his son who serves him, meaning only on the day when I perform Sgula, the day of the end of correction. This is so because prior to the end of correction, before we qualified our vessels of reception to receive only in order to give contentment to our Maker and not to our own benefit, Malchut is called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This is so because Malchut is the guidance of the world by people's actions. And since we are unfit to receive all the delight and pleasure that the Creator had contemplated in our favor in the thought of creation, we must receive the guidance of good and evil from the Malchut. This guidance qualifies us to ultimately correct our vessels of reception in order to bestow and to be rewarded with the delight and pleasure He had contemplated in our favor. Because our sensation of good and evil causes reward and punishment too. Since the sensation of evil causes separation from the faith in the Creator, it follows that if one exerts, during one's bad feeling, not to blemish his faith because of that, and to keep the Torah and mitzvot in wholeness, he is rewarded. And if he does not succeed in the test and receives separation, he is filled with evil thoughts. It is known that for such thoughts, the Creator punishes as for an act. It is written about it, to lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel. It is also known that the righteousness of the righteous will not save him on the day of his transgression. However, this concerns only those who ponder the beginning. Yet sometimes the thoughts prevail over a person until he wonders about all the good deeds he has done and says, what profit is it that we have kept his charge and that we have walked in mourning before the Lord of hosts? At that time he becomes a complete wicked because he ponders the beginning and loses all the good deeds he had done by his bad thought. As it is written, the righteousness of the righteous will not save him on the day of his transgression. This is why repentance is helpful, although this is already regarded as beginning to serve the Creator anew, as a newly born infant, whose righteousness from the past has completely vanished. Often, the guidance of good and evil causes us ascents and descents, each according to what he is. You should know that for this reason, each ascent is regarded as a separate day because due to the great descent that he had, doubting the beginning, during the ascent he is as a newly born child. Thus, in each ascent, it is as though he begins to serve the Creator anew. This is why each ascent is considered a special day, a specific day. And similarly, each descent is considered a specific night.
Is that clear? Yep. Look the extent to which everything is cut by what was. As soon as the moment passed, that's it. It's done. It's dead. Now it's something new. And every time we need to relate to life this way. At every moment, the Creator gives us a brand new state. This state descends from above. It's not that we caused it. It's not that we did something. It's not that the present state is the result of the past state. Don't take that into account. But every state and every moment comes from above, from Him. And I separately need to make a calculation with each one.
So where's the check? Where's the conclusion? How do I compare? Reality is, after all,
what
we have to look at, everything kind of cut, like a new state, and that's it, I don't care?
Yep, exactly. Everything. The Creator brings you, and that's it. What is upon, what must you do? You must build a connection with Him. At every state, try to be in connection with Him, in adhesion, dvikut. That's it. Or what do you think? Do you think that the present state is the result of the past state that you caused? You did something?
I didn't say that I caused it, but it's a result of the previous state.
You are on the stage, and all around you, just like in the theater, everything changes. And you must cause dvekut, bring dvekut to every single state, to every frame, as it is.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to bring dvekut to that frame, Rav? To be adhered as it is. Oh, I can't. You can't because you're in your ego. But if you will get rid of your ego, will leave it somehow, erase it, just remove yourself from it, then what's the problem? Whatever happens, happens. I am adhered. Clear? A little. But this is the right approach to none else besides Him. Yes, Amnon. You are escaping us. No, I'm not fleeing. I don't escape. I just want to say that I'm hearing the Zohar, and I have two inclinations. One is me trying to understand what's happening, and the other one is saying, sit, Amnon, relax, you're after a battle on the road for a year, for an hour and a half, just be included in your tent and so on, you don't have to understand anything. So now I have these two things that I have to understand and not understand. So how do I resolve that?
Rob,
I don't recommend understanding, but rather feeling. These last few pages sound like a novel. That's a story, a rakia firmament, and some. I don't actually remember. I just have a good impression, like a niceness, something that's happening. to us like we're in this bubble that's going on. That's what you have to feel. I just need to get an impression from it and be less connected to the material. That's it. That's enough.
So why doesn't it work out so good when we're not here physically? Kind of like if I'm along the way, I drive and I hear the Zohar lesson and it works out for me. But that feeling when I'm here, that feeling where I'm truly sitting inside a cloud and incorporated with my ten, I can't manage to feel that when I'm with my earbud in my ear.
You know, this is from you having the ability, the opportunity to sit here. So you say, here, to sit here is much better and more comfortable than to be included in the Zohar than me being with my headphones a few kilometers away from here. This is because you have the ability to compare. If you couldn't compare, then you would get used to listening through the headphone, and through your headphones, you would get exactly the same thing that those that sit here and listen and see, not through devices. Same thing. Everything just depends on the extent to which a person gets used to something and how much he wants. He can be anywhere, in the middle of nowhere, and not even seeing, but listening, and not even listening in Hebrew, but through translation. It doesn't matter. The result comes out of his own desire, and not out of how good the connection is, and his understanding is. No. Only the extent to which his heart is, after all, directed toward this, aimed at it. Even in our world, we have examples of people that are in some lack of a sense and a disability. They make up for this lack with other senses. Let's say the deaf. Or, not the deaf, but the blind. So they are so, they can discriminate so finely between all the sounds. It's like they almost don't need the sense of sight. So I'm saying that there's no problem here in the absorption of that force of correction, but rather everything depends on the person. But if you have the opportunity to come here and to come closer and you don't do it, then you won't be able to fulfill it. You won't be able to make up that difference. Because if you can make it up, then make it up in action. That's how it works. Okay, let's continue. Wait. Go ahead, Lud.
I nevertheless wanted to ask something. We need to relate to each state as a cut-off state, each moment a new state. That's what you said, yes?
Right.
But nevertheless, a person needs to get up, come, and get up again, and come and wake up again. A person is active. He can't remain to sit and just go through all those states, right?
Right. Who told you you're not supposed to work? But you need to understand that during all this work and every action, it's not you performing these actions, but the Creator is the one that arranges you like a puppet on a string. Try to be adhered to these actions from above.
Meaning a creator gives us a state and a person needs to see himself also in that state, also the creator in that same state, and everything kind of like one package?
So you can be as confused as you want, but that's how it is. What duty?
And what from being a puppet on strings.
You, by this, become Davuk, adhere to the Creator, and in every one of your actions, you want to reveal that this action is done by the hand of the Creator, and this action is done by your hand as well, and both of them are together. They both exist, are present together. This is an exercise, okay? It's not that, you know, you need to work in this. Not yet. But soon, this will be revealed. We're close.
We're continuing on page 17, in It Is Written. As it is written, day to day pours forth speech, a holy day from among those upper days of the king. In other words, on each ascent that a person had, when he clung to the upper days of the Creator, the friends are praised and each tells his friend that thing that he said. This is so because through the great zivug at the end of correction, they will be rewarded with repentance from love, for they will complete the correction of all the vessels of reception, so they will only be in order to bestow contentment upon the Creator. In that zivug, all of the great delight and pleasure of the thought of creation will appear to us. At that time, we will evidently see that all those punishments from the time of descents, which brought us into doubting the beginning, were the things that purified us and were the direct causes of all the happiness and goodness that have come to us at the time of the end of correction. This is so because were it not for those terrible punishments, we would never have come to this delight and pleasure. Then these sins will be inverted into actual merits. Day to day pours forth speech means that each ascent prior to the end of correction is one of those upper days of the king, praising the friends. Thus, now it reappears in all the magnificence of its wholeness, which belongs to that day, and praises the friends who keep the Torah with that thing which each said to the friends, which is, it is vain to serve God, and what profit it is that we have kept his charge, which at that time inflicted great punishments. This is because now they have been turned into merits, since the entire wholeness and happiness of that day would not be able to appear now in that grandeur and magnificence were it not for those punishments. This is why those who speak those words are regarded as those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name, as actual good deeds. This is why it was said about them too, I will have compassion over them as a man has compassion for his own son who serves him. It is said, day to day pours forth that speech and praises it. This is because all those nights are descents, the sufferings and the punishments that arrested the Dvekut with the Creator until they became many days one after the other. Now, once the night and darkness have become merits and good deeds as well, the night shines like the day and darkness like light. There are no more arrests, and all 6,000 years unite into a single great day. Thus, all the zivugim that came out one at a time and disclosed ascents and descents that were separate from one another have now assembled into one level sublime and transcendent level of zivug, which shines from the end of the world through its end. It is written, day to day pours forth that speech, because the word that separated between one day and the next has now become a great praise, and praises it, for it has become a merit. Thus they all became one day for the Lord. When it is said, and night to night, it refers to all the degrees that govern that night, praising each other to that knowledge that each receives from his friend. This is because all those words and sufferings that are called nights, for which the degrees became discrete, one at a time, now they too shine like the day, since they have all gathered and become a single receptacle for the great knowledge that fills the whole earth with the knowledge of the Lord. It follows that each night for itself would remain in the dark, had it not come into the gathering with all the nights. This is so because each night receives its share in the knowledge only out of the bonding with the rest of the nights. Hence, each night is regarded as revealing knowledge to the other, for it would be unfit for the knowledge except in combination with another. And each degree that governs at night, meaning each night, has now been complemented into being a receptacle for the knowledge of the Creator, praises one another. It follows that each one praises his friend because of that knowledge that he receives from his friend, since the part of the knowledge that each friend received is from his friend. Through the bonding with his friend, the night. He would not receive it unless by bonding with his friend, since only all of them together assembled became worthy of receiving that great knowledge. This is why it was said, and for all the wholeness they have become friends and lovers, for in the great wholeness that they received together, all the night become loving friends to one another.
Very beautifully how he describes it here. How it starts questions.
We have a friend that is laying in Tel Shomer, Dima Chaimov. He's asking, what is a punishment? How could one that is good and benevolent can punish a person or a whole nation? Rav, what punishments? What do you think a punishment is? When do I get a punishment? In what incident? Establish a state in which you have something that you could point to and say, this is a punishment. Well, in truth, punishment can be a state in which I want to do something in the right direction and I don't succeed. Rav, and, well, so then, meaning you had an opportunity to do something good and you don't succeed to do something good, then what? It feels to me like a punishment. It can feel so. Rav, so why is it a punishment? So you didn't succeed to do something good. That's considered a punishment? A punishment in our world is considered that I couldn't do something good, so I deserve, other than that, some fine, some blow, some screaming at me or something. But if I didn't manage to do something good with my forces, meaning to the extent in which I was capable of doing and I couldn't, yes? So where's the punishment here? I seemingly could have done something. And I made an effort and didn't succeed. So what sort of punishment do I deserve? That recognition of that state that I didn't succeed and I brought myself to a worse state than that which I thought before. That's not a punishment? Meaning I caused it to myself. What else does there need to be here? What punishment? But rather, you could say, if I didn't manage to do some right, good action, even because I was negligible, doesn't matter in what way, the fact that I didn't succeed is the punishment itself, and other than that, I need to receive a punishment, meaning an addition of a bad feeling so that it will help me come out of this state and to come to the good state, that which I didn't succeed in. So is it a punishment or is it correction and help? It's no longer a punishment. Rav, do you understand? Meaning there's a problem here in our state to say what punishments and what's to the contrary, support and encouragement, when and where we receive it. It's the opposite of what we see in this world. If I'm in a permanent system, a complete system, and I come out of balance there and I need to operate and I need to be operated upon to bring me back into balance more and more, to be more and more whole, then what are punishments? The feeling of the state that I am not suitable to that environment. That's the punishment. So the punishment is actually a correction. It's the recognition of evil. That's how it works. That's how the system works. It's not like in our world. We just shout at someone or beat someone. We see also how much it doesn't help, punishments. Only the recognition of evil, which helps a person then to continue correctly, you can call that a punishment. A punishment in spirituality is only correction. Yes. He continues and he asks how to use the ego correctly, which is increasing during the study of the Zohar. Rav, don't think about it. Think about the perfection. That's also what I spoke with our friend here. And what does that mean? We learn a whole thing, a perfect thing, something that is whole. Therefore, you're hearing this, Aaron. And while I study something whole, I also need to be in wholeness. Above all the problems, above all the concerns, above my thoughts of myself. Like this. Like a child with my mouth wide open. That's how I need to hear the Zohar. I want to be in it. Like in a tale, an adventure. I want it to influence me. Just like with children, we read something. When we were children, we would imagine ourselves inside the story, so much so that we would have all of a sudden, we would be afraid if we would read something or scary. So we were truly in the story. That's how I want to be now inside the story. That's it. That's considered to want to know what we're learning. So what effort is there here? It's an internal effort. It's kind of a beautiful effort. No more than that. The wisdom of the Torah does not demand anything but for a person to want to be in it. All the rest the Torah tells us and teaches us, and all the rest the Torah does in your place. It does it in your place, truly. Okay. What, did you find some source there? No? Okay, so, all right. There's no questions. We can continue. We're continuing on page 18, item 141. There's neither speech nor are there words, means words, and things from the rest of the matters in the world, which are not heard before the Holy King, and he has no desire to hear them. But those matters, their line has gone out through all the earth, meaning that those matters make a line from the dwellers above and from the dwellers below. From these things, the firmaments are made. And from those things, from that praise, the earth is made. And should you say that those things roam on one place in the world, the writing says, and their utterance to the end of the world.
And
explanation. Thus far, we spoke of the worst punishments and sufferings, the separation from the faith in the Creator. The Zohar says that punishments and sufferings from other things in the world, from personal transgressions and from torments of hell, and bodily torments, etc., which fill the whole of this world, gather and are included in this great zivug as well. It is written about it, "It shall come to pass that as the Lord delighted over you to prosper you and multiply you, so the Lord will delight over you to make you perish and destroy you." This is so because they all gather and become a great light, turning into merriment and great joy. And it is said, "There is neither speech nor are there words from the rest of the world," which are all the sufferings of this world. They are not heard before the Holy King, as they turn into merriment and joy. He does not wish to hear them, so he will not lust after hearing them, since out of their inversion into merriment and joy, the Holy King will lust after them and will crave to hear them. In other words, the memory of any sorrow and pain from past times will now, at the end of correction, cause great joy and pleasure. As it is written about it, "In those days, and at that time, declares the Lord, search will be made for the iniquity of Israel, but there will be none." This is so because when they turn into merits, they will cause such contentment that the iniquities from past times will be sought so as to joke about them, but they will not be found. That is, it will seem to us that they no longer exist in their real form as they were in the past. And it is said, "He does not wish to hear them," meaning that there is no utterance and no speech, that it will not return to them with a desire and craving to hear them, since now they have all become holy and faithful lights. This great level that rises in the great zivug from all the souls and all the deeds at the end of correction, both good or bad, are regarded as a line and a pillar of light that shines from the end of the world to its end. This is the great unification, as it is written, "The Lord will be one and His name one." And it was said, "But those matters, their line has gone out through all the earth." Since the level that comes out on those matters, which are every kind of suffering and punishment, illuminates from the end of the world to its end, meaning throughout the land. And it was said, "From the dwellers above and from the dwellers below," which is a sublime matter indeed, and I will exert to clarify it as best as I can. We should know that in eternity the order of time is not as it is in this world. It follows that when the Creator contemplated creating the world, all the souls with all their conducts were already created in Him, through the end and the complete wholeness that is required of them, in order to receive all the pleasure and delight that He had contemplated to delight them. In Him, the future is like the present, and future and past do not apply to Him. Now you will understand the words the Creator showed Adam HaRishon, each generation and its teachers, as well as to Moses. This seems perplexing, since they have not been created yet. How did He show them? However, it is written that all the souls and all their conducts through the end of correction have already come out before Him in reality. They are all present in the upper Garden of Eden, and from there they come down, clothing bodies in this world, each in its time. The Creator showed them to Adam HaRishon from there, as well as to Moses, and to all who were worthy of it. This is an extensive matter, and not every mind can bear it. This is why it is said in the Zohar that as they unite in one above, she unites in one below. Since the level of the great zivug of the end of correction, as it is written, the Lord will be one and His name one. This level has already come out above. All the souls and all the deeds in the world, which will be created through the end of correction, in relation to His eternity. For the future is as the present to Him. It follows that this pillar of light, which shines from the end of the world through its end, which will shine at the end of correction, is already standing in the upper garden of Eden and shines before Him as it will appear to us at the end of correction. It says there, one opposite one, since the Creator is one. This is so because at the end of correction, the two levels will shine one opposite the other, and then the Lord will be one and His name one. And as it is written, those matters make a line from the dwellers above and from the dwellers below, a line that shines from the dwellers above and from the dwellers below, one opposite the other. This is so because that level shines from the dwellers above, which are the souls who are all in the upper garden of Eden, and shines from the dwellers below, which are all the souls once they have actually been dressed in a body in this world and arrived at the end of correction. In other words, those two levels shine at the end of correction together. And then the unification of the Lord is one and His name one appears. Is that clear? Yes? Yes? I want to relate to what you said before about the punishment. It works out that the greatest punishment is that a person can't justify the state. Rav, right, yes. On one hand, he has to work and effort every moment, but at the end, the time that it takes him to justify is what causes us to suffer. That's the feeling. Rav says, yes, correct. Yes, and that has to do with dvikut, adhesion. Is that clear? Well, if you agree, then we will continue.
It
tells us, so we will not err in our thinking, that this pillar of light that shines in the upper garden of Eden extends and illuminates at the end of correction in this world. To that it tells us that it is not so. Rather, the firmaments are made from those things because this level comes out on Yesod de Zeranpin, which is called a firmament. For this reason, there is still this distinction in all the Zivugim, where the level first comes out from the firmament and above, and then illuminates to the receivers from the firmament and below. The level that comes out from the firmament and above is called heaven, and the level that is received from the firmament and below is called earth. It was said that when the line of light unites the dwellers above and the dwellers below, there still remains the distinction between the upper garden of Eden and the dwellers of this world. This is so because only the dwellers of the upper garden of Eden receive the level of the zivug that comes out from the firmament and above. For the firmaments are made of these things, meaning a new heaven for the dwellers above. Only the brightness that extends from the firmament and below is received by the dwellers below and is called a new land. This is what concludes that praise, meaning that the dwellers below obtain only the praise and the brightness that extends from heaven to earth. And should you say that those matters are in one place, since it was explained that the zivug was done like all the zivugim, where from the firmament and above it extends to from the firmament and below, it is therefore possible to err and say that it is only a thin line, which rises in one place, as it is written about in the act of creation, let the waters be gathered into one place. Meaning only to the internality of the words, which reaches only Israel, and not to the externality of the words, worlds. But he says that it is not so, but they rather wander in the world, that the light wanders and fills the world from the end of the world to its end, as it is written, and their utterances to the end of the world, meaning even the externality of the worlds, that it reaches the nations of the world as well, as it is written, and the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, meaning that the correction of the world comes to us from the Creator, and it depends on the order of corrections, where they all long to their roles according to what they had before. Therefore, they're called Israel, Yashar Kel, direct to the Creator, longing for it. And then the corrections, thanks to them, also come to others. But eventually, and the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the whole land.
Konstantin from Novosibirsk is asking, what are we changing by the connection in the Ten if everything was created by the Creator? If the connection also created by the Creator. So where is our connection in the Ten?
Our work is in connecting ourselves such that in the connection that we have, we will come to 10 complete tefillot. That's what we need to do.
The fact that the system is complete.
The fact that the system is whole, it's whole. But we need correction. We seemingly are broken, distanced from each other. It's like a game. And we need to come to a state that we need to correct, to connect together. There's no more to do. That's it. But with that, we attain the perfection of the system. And all of its laws. Otherwise, if we were separated from the system, we wouldn't merit anything. That's why the correction is in us. A correction in our perception, our awareness, our adhesion between us and to that upper force. It's all between us only. Okay? Good? If so, then I have nothing to say. When is the lesson going to be over? At 8 o'clock exactly, I always wonder if... Oh, all together. Okay, wonderful. So you have 5 minutes to sing. Well, what song from Bala Sulam?
No. La 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 la. Lai lai la la lai 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 la la lai 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 la 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 lai lai la lai 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 la lai 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 la la lai 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 la la lai lai la 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 la
Wonderful. Look how many people from all of our groups, Tel Aviv, St. Petersburg, Romania, Turkey, and many others. Spain, Portugal, Tiberias,
Astana,
Berlin, wonderful Revadim, Czech, Slovakia, Holland, Tallinn, Dnieper, Australasia, wonderful,
Hadera,
Odessa, all the best to all of you, to the friends, good night to everyone.